Before you start your next do-it-yourself project, listen to this. You Got This is on the air. You Got This is hosted by ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air owner Andrew Twidwell and Rosalie Brown. With a helpful hand, here are Andrew and Rosalie.
Hi, this is Andrew Twidwell, owner of ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air. Once again with You Got This, it's a show of DIY do's and don'ts, and I'm here with Rosalie Brown. We're zooming in, and we both have different views. I'm looking out on my green lawn and sunshine, and my maple tree is all leafed out, and it's a lovely day in the neighborhood.
Hey, you might think I don't have nature to gaze upon, but you would be wrong. I have a beautiful park right outside my window. I have, which is actually encased in bubble wrap, but we'll talk about that later. Well, you were the one who said try bubble wrap, so I did bubble wrap.
Oh, your windows are covered in bubble wrap, right?
Yeah,
right.
Just the bedroom window. The living room and other parts of the house are not. But to cushion some noise.
Has that helped?
I don't think so. I don't. But you know what? Someone asked me the other day, like, so if you're not sure, are you gonna take it down? I'm like, no, because that's the whole thing. I'm not sure. What if it is helping? And I can't tell. So I don't mind the day. So I live in I live in Los Angeles, and there's a lot of it's more traffic because where I'm located, it's kind of an area where people stop for a light. And then really close by, they also come off the freeway at a light. And so you've got a lot of revving and slowing down. Right. And so, and then Highway 5.
And like my neighborhood on Butler, I mean, and Walker, it's people, for some reason, they love to just gun their diesel trucks and gun their Harleys and their two-stroke motorcycles. My neighbor kid on his two-stroke. Peel out and stuff. It's like,
right. So I've got that. And, you know, like, you're like, and then there's a nice big, it's a nice stretch where you're heading right towards Griffith Park, which is beautiful, which is what I was getting to, but if it's a nice open stretch, you also have those little, idiots that are like, I'm going to rev my motor. So there's a fair amount of street noise. I had talked to you one day and said, hey, what do I do? Like, what do I do? I was on the internet looking up like different ways to get rid of the sound. And you'd suggested this tip that you use, a travel tip, which I thought was fascinating. And you had said that oftentimes when you are, you know, using your travel trailer to see different parts of California, like even when you've gone down to Malibu, sometimes you're close to the road, the main highway, whatever. Yeah. And so you had said that you take bubble wrap and put those on the inside of your window to kind of cushion the noise. So I, of course, you know, we got off our call. I went over to Home Depot. I grabbed a bunch of, you know, of rolly bubbles and came home and like, you know, put it up and sat back and went, I don't think it sounds any different. but I also have bought, I also spent $19, the best $19 I've ever spent on the internet, and found this really great, I should be an affiliate for this product because it's the best ever.
Right.
I found this really nice, cool little white noise machine, and I found the right frequency for me. Some people like nature sound, some people like the sound of fans, like a white noise. I'm definitely more of a white noise type person when I'm asleep. So for $20, problem solved. It doesn't bother me during the day. So I do have all of that to say, when I do look out my window through the bubble wrap, I do have a beautiful park and people are always there with their dogs and lots of dogs in this neighborhood. It's a very dog friendly place, which is,
and then with a bubble wrap, you can leave the curtains open because people can't see it.
Oh yeah. No, they can't see it. Like, trust me, like they, and honestly, like, what are you going to see? You know, like me.
You're up above anyway, right? You're above on the ground floor.
So people, I mean, good for them, like enjoy, but I do have a really beautiful, really
every
tall
teenage
ceiling.
Boy dreams.
Right. Well, from afar, sure. Blurry, sure. But enough on that. But I do have this beautiful, really tall, like 9 or 10 foot ceilings, I think, maybe taller. I have this ginormous slider that looks out on the park from the living room. Awesome. And that's really nice. Got enough natural light. It's really sunny here most of the time. So I cannot complain.
It's sunny in LA? I never heard of that.
Yeah, right. And with AC, I don't care. I told you in the last show, there was a spike. All of a sudden, it was like 70, 70, 94. And I was like, well, it feels a little hot. And then I pulled up the temp on my phone. I'm like, oh, you know, that's crazy. And then I was like, oh, right. Hit a button in the hallway and went, not my problem. I'm feeling good. 70 something in here. I'm feeling good. So it's not bad. But I know you're getting ready to, we talked about it last show, you're about ready to take off on a cute little trip to the Midwest. I always get a little bit envious because I do think it's beautiful there. It's you're going at a good time. You're not going to be in the thick of the humidity. You've got probably some nice springy, cooler spring though. I mean,
cooler springy, but the trees will be leafing out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be nice. And I was actually talking to Dave Barry the other day. So we're airing this on KNCSA. I was chatting with him about it, and he was originally from Indiana. He was like, "You going to Minnesota?"
Right. I know. Who goes to Minnesota?
But yeah, you know, having been born and raised on the West Coast and living my entire life on the West Coast, it's more of an adventure to try different things. And the Midwest is, you know, let's be honest, it's a lot different than what I'm used to on the West Coast. So it's cool. I enjoy it.
It's fun. And, you know, I've said this a million times and I stand by this. People are so nice. And not that you can't find nice people everywhere, but typically they're very nice people and they're very proud of where they're from. That's one thing that I thought was interesting is that, you know, in California, a lot of people that you will meet or talk to are from somewhere else. When you go to the Midwest, you mostly, a lot of the time, are talking to people that are born and raised there that absolutely love it. A lot of pride, a lot of history.
They're 20 miles away from where they grew up.
And they always have a story to share. And you know, some of the best stories I ever heard were like my brother-in-law was talking about, you know, they used to go out in the middle of nowhere and light barns on fire and weird stuff like that, you know, and it's just part of the lure, you know? And I'm like, oh my God,
we
lit barns on fire. Well, he did grow up to be a fire chief. So it worked out, but still, you know, like we don't have that here, you know? So anyway, but speaking of fires and whatnot, I didn't even mean to segue this way, but I'm gonna, I'm going to ride that segue right into this. So we know that we actually talked a couple shows ago about fire season, or maybe that was just a newsletter, but at any case, I can't remember anymore. I spent so much time talking about ABT. I don't remember what day it is, but
we did. We talked about preparedness. I think it was a couple shows ago.
Okay.
Being ready for fire season. Yeah.
So one of the things we didn't touch on, but of course we need to, is that with fire season upon us, and again, California kind of being in this extended drought period that just seems to kind of continue year after year, we know that it's very likely we're going to have more planned power outages that are, as much as they are just, you know, horrible to live through, you know, we know the reason behind it. The reason behind it, good, you know, whatever you have to say about our utility company, is that they got to shut the power off if there's a chance that they it's going to contribute to a wildfire.
Yeah. And I just want to kind of segue in, or not segue, because it's all on topic. So we did the wildflower bike ride through Chico, from Chico to Paradise to Durham a couple of weeks back, and went through Paradise and they had a group that was working in the local park, a couple families, and they were kind of doing a fundraiser thing. And we chatted with them. And they said, out of the 14,000 residences that were burnt during that fire, only 700 have been rebuilt in the last 2 years. I mean, it's still, you'd ride through there and you drive through Paradise and it's just devastating. I mean, I think about that all the time. So like, you know, it just reminds me like, okay, these PSPSs are, yes, they're a pain and I'm not crazy about it, but you know, if you've gone down to Paradise or if you've gone down to Santa Rosa, you realize, oh my gosh, you know, there is a reason for this. And
we
know it's going to be more.
Yeah. I would expect the summer that there will be more. And so kind of, it's important to know that if you want to start talking about or thinking about standby generators, I just chewed that word up, but generators, this would probably be a pretty good time to start to lean into that pretty heavily. Right. Because
it's getting, yeah,
once the season changes, I mean, it's, you guys are going to quite possibly be like super busy like everybody else.
We're slammed. Everybody's slammed.
Yeah.
Everybody's right. slammed. I mean, there's been an issue with, you know, I mean, it's one of those weird things. The pandemic has been, we've seen an uptick in home service and fixing things up. So yeah, mm-hmm. we're all just, everybody I know is just,
so trying, and just trying to keep only- up. Only
but in any event,
busier.
It's going to get worse. Yeah. It's going right. to get worse when it gets
so maybe
warm,
think so. About, yeah. So maybe think about if you've been talking about it, maybe now kind of dial in on that. But let's say yeah. that you, let's say that you don't have a standalone generator and you have to kind of get through a PSP, which can be anywhere from a couple hours to a few days. Yeah. So we thought that we would try to scour to find some hopefully helpful ways
hopefully
to kind
helpful.
Of, yeah. you know, to get through it. And hopefully they are brief, but we never know when they happen. Right.
Yeah.
So what would you, so you kind of looked through kind of what we were going to talk about today. And I'm wondering if anything kind of stuck out to you as like a you know, a starting jump off point.
Well, so yeah, I mean, this, what we wanted to talk about mainly was, you know, how to stay cool during a power outage, during a prepared power outage, because we're going to see that. And unfortunately, when they happen a lot of times, especially during the summer, it happens when it's, you know, we've got a heat wave. And that's when they, a lot of times happen during the summertime. So what do you do to stay cool when you can't use your air conditioning? So there's a couple of things you can do. I mean, some of the suggestions that this lays out, you know, like wearing loose clothes and lightweight clothing. Yeah, that's a gimme. You know, why do we have to talk about that?
Right, exactly.
But some of the things that you may forget about is, you know, using natural ventilation, making sure your windows are open. But ironically, one of the things you might want to do when you're in a home, you know, what we do during the summertime when we have power is we open all the windows and stuff at night and turn on the whole house fan to bring the cool air in. And then in the morning, we shut everything up, shut the house up to hold that coldness in as the temperature starts to rise. And that helps a lot. I mean, we can extend turning on our air conditioning by hours sometimes, you know, 4 or 5 hours and save quite a bit of money on our air AC bill. But you can do that at the same time at when you have a power outage, when you know there's going to be a power outage, because you know you usually have some kind of notice. Shut the house up as, you know, as soon as it starts getting warm. And then when it does, when your house does reach the temperature of outside, then open it up. Mm-hmm. So that's, and then use natural ventilation. They also make some really cool battery powered fans. And it's amazing. I mean, we all know how well fans work, but sometimes we forget. And I know there's quite a few fans in the industry that I'm in, the construction industry, that work with, you know, your Ryobi battery or your Milwaukee battery or any of the tools batteries, which you've already got them. Why not buy a battery powered fan and use these batteries? And they last a long time because these batteries are big and they're really expensive. I mean, most batteries for the tools are, you know, you're talking $50 to $100 for each one of those batteries. So they work, they hold a lot of juice and they can run a fan for a long time. I know a lot of people that you know, I read a lot of full-time RV sites just because I'm a dork. And that was kind of our thought at one point in our lives. But anyway, that's a big thing in that industry, in that segment, is these battery powered fans that utilize your tool battery. So that's a great thing to have. And that, you know, speaking of keeping yourself cool, when you do have power, you can run the ceiling fan and you can turn your the thermostat up by, you know, a couple of degrees when you got the fan running. This is a big one though. You know, what do you do about your refrigerator? And that, I, you know, that's a tough one because, you know, a refrigerator, freezer door, if the power goes off, don't open it, leave it closed as long as you can. Go out and buy more food if you have to, because, you know, a refrigerator can go for half a day to a full day in the freezer without any issues. A refrigerator can go for a good 4 hours without any issues if you keep that door closed. Okay. Once you open that door, it's right. kind of like, you know, if you envision a box full of sand, the coldness is in the sand, right? You open the door, all that sand just kind of creeps out through the bottom because right. cold sinks. Right. And then now all of a sudden you've depleted all of the sand in your cold box, your refrigerator.
Right.
And the only way to replenish that is with power, and you don't have power. So your food rots. So if you can keep the door shut as long as you possibly can, that's a great idea.
And there's a, and we've talked about this before. I should have looked it up before this, but so if you know you're going to have a power outage, and there's always that concern, especially with, I think, frozen foods and things like that, because it can be deceiving, you know, when they've turned, or like when it's too late, you got to throw it out. And so there's a rule of thumb that you, if you know that the power shut off is coming, if you freeze like about a cup of water, right, and you put a quarter or a coin of some kind on top of that block of ice that is in this cup, right? Once the you go without power for a while, and then yay, power comes back on, take a look at your cup, and if it's below a certain level, that was the indicator.
Like an inch or something. Yeah.
Yes. Then if it's if it's not gone that far, then you're good. Then your stuff is fine. If it goes below that, then you really need to consider maybe you got to. You got to get rid of it. And one thing I will say, as unfair as it is to have to replace your food, I do know that when it happened to me a few times for extended, this is before they were doing planned power outages. This is just when you lived on Banner Mountain, there was snow and you had no power for 7 days. Oh, just me? My house was the only house on the block? Yes, that happened more than once. I got the lucky house that was everything came together. And so I was able to actually get some, it wasn't enough, but I did get a small reimbursement from the power company to help replenish groceries. So I know that there's also, I think there's outreach for that, but we definitely don't want you to, opening that refrigerator door to check how cold it is, because honestly, besides what you just mentioned, I always do stupid stuff like that. Right. And then I ask myself, would you know? So you're so temperature savvy that you're going to open that door and you're just going to somehow know if it's cold in there or not. I mean, come on, like, you know, what are you really doing here? So I've done that just a few times and I thought, how would I know? Like, don't be stupid. Yeah. So anyway, keep the stuff locked up.
Keep
it
closed. And yeah, you know, I was just thinking off the cuff of my head, off the top of my head. The other thing, if you do have an RV, if you do have a recreational vehicle that has a propane refrigerator, start that sucker up. Move your stuff into that thing. That we've done that multiple times. Or if you have a portable that can plug into your little Dometics or something that you can plug into your car, plug that in, fill it up. There are ways to save food. So yeah, those are a couple of things. So yeah, the refrigerator is a big thing. So this is another thing. So this is something that we tend to forget too. And my wife and I have arguments about it, which is stupid, but you know, that we're an old married couple, is when you have, when the power goes out and you don't have any way to cool the house down, don't cook indoors. Use alternative, safe alternative cooking methods. Keep the heat out. When you use your oven, when you use your stove, you're going to raise the temperature of your home. And sometimes we forget about that. So if you've got a barbecue outside.
Well, so I mean, that's another thing too, though, right? So, well, if you don't have power, you might, I mean, I guess if you have gas, you can do gas cooking, right? My last place was, I think, all electric. When I lived in Banner Mountain, I think it was all electrical. But so let's say you have the gas, but you don't have the other. It's not a bad idea to keep your barbecue, like your propane tanks and all that, like ready, right? I mean, because these are the situations where you could... Yeah. Want to use your propane, but of course, always outside, right? Like we talk about when people try to use propane to heat the inside of the house. So we want to use the same thing.
We don't want anybody to be asphyxiated by barbecuing indoors, but that happens every year. Right. I read about it every year. So find alternative ways of cooking and keep the heat outside. So one of the other things is, something else that comes up during, well, we're talking about being cool, but we'll keep going down this path of not having power. A lot of us have wells and we don't have water when the power goes off. Most wells have what's called a pressure tank, and that pressure tank, the well pump comes on and builds pressure inside this tank. So you don't have to cycle the well pump as often. So even when the power goes off, you still have water left in that pressure tank, and you could have, you know, 20 to 30, sometimes 40 gallons of usable water under pressure. So if you can avoid flushing your toilet, if you can avoid using water unless you absolutely have to, you will extend the amount of water that you have available. So, you know, you go to the old 70s things of, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down kind of thing. You can let that go for a while and actually get a couple flushes out of your well system. So one little tip, minor tip. And then I think I'm going to wrap it up with this one because we're almost there. And this is something you and I really, you know, we talked about this before the show and we really wanted to mention this. We do live in a community that a lot of people move to and retire to. And a lot of people moved up here from the Bay Area and moved up from LA. And even recently, they may not have gone through some of the stuff that you and I have gone through living in the area. You know, every year is a different experience up here. And we've got, you know, a major influx of people moving up here now. But you want to check on those people because they may not have had the experience of not having water, not having air conditioning, having the power go out for days on end, because when they do the PSPS, they'll shut the power down to make sure we don't have any fires, but then they have to physically go through and check all the lines to make sure that they're working. So they have to fly the helicopter around and it can take them a day or longer just to make sure the lines aren't severed or broken somewhere that causes a fire. So it could be days without power. And you know, if you're moving up from LA or San Francisco, you know, you don't experience that. We, you know, I grew up in San Francisco. I don't remember having power outages that lasted more than minutes, if maybe an hour tops.
Yeah.
But in a rural area, you can go days. So check on those friends, check on those family members, check on those loved ones, because of the fact that A, they may not know what's going on and you can help them. You can give them some tips. B, you know, if you've got family members or friends that may have some temperature sensitive situations, I know like my mother-in-law, she had MS, she didn't sweat. So when it got hot, it was miserable. And I've got another friend who's the paraplegic and he doesn't sweat. So temperature is this huge issue. So, you know, check on those people to make sure that they're okay. Do your due diligence and make sure your family, friends, and everybody else is
and your neighbors
make it through this.
We have so many older. I mean, Nevada County has got a really huge population of geriatric folks, and so you know, there's a lot of neighbors that might need a little assistance. And the other thing I want to mention real quick too is be mindful of, you know, when the power comes back on, we don't all get it back at once. And so if you know you have neighbors or people you know, even if they're not your best friends, and they have medications that are sensitive to temperature, which most medications are, a lot of them are stored.
Or just want a light bulb to work.
like literally, you know, that's the time. Cause the power comes back on in stages, right? So just be mindful of things like that. I mean,
you could literally be next door to somebody and you've got power and your neighbor doesn't. So offer to run an extension cord for them just so they can have some lights.
Yeah.
You know?
No, been there.
It'll go over huge. Yeah. Ditto.
The only house on the block that didn't have power back. Yeah. I was like, how did I get so lucky?
Yeah. So, and with that, I mean, okay. So I was going to say that was the last one, but we got a minute for this last one. So, when your power does go off, a good idea, if you don't have all your sensitive electronic devices hooked up on a surge protector, which I highly recommend that you do, unplug them, unplug your TV, unplug your computers, unplug your, if you've got a refrigerator that's less than a couple years old, an oven that's less than a couple years old, they all have CPUs on them. And when the power comes on, sometimes there's a spike.
You're right.
And it can fry the circuit board on those things, or it can fry the transformer on them. And then all of a sudden, now you got this really nice paperweight that costs you $1,500.
You are so right. I see that happen with refrigerators all the time. The newer refrigerators, big trouble.
Yeah.
Big trouble.
Yeah. There is literally computers in almost all appliances now. And they are affected by these power spikes. And they're generally pretty clean when the power comes back on. But every once in a while, you're going to get a bolt that comes through that's going to be greater than what your system can handle, and it can fry your stuff. Your lights, don't worry about those. They're not going to, you know, very rarely do lights go out. But any sensitive electronics,
that is so true. Oh God, that is
unplug
so true.
Them.
Those are expensive to replace, people. Very expensive to replace.
So be prepared. You know, if you know it's coming, figure out what you're going to do with your food. Don't open the refrigerator. Keep your house locked up, closed up during the hottest time of the day until your house reaches the same temperatures outside, then open things up. Check on your neighbors, check on your family, check on your friends, and unplug your appliances before the power comes back on. That's a pretty good list. So with that, I hope this was helpful. Hope you guys get prepared for the upcoming PSPSs, because we know they're going to come. You can find us for any plumbing, electrical, heating, or air problems that you may have. And you can call us at 530-230-9092. The number again, 530-230-9092. You can also find us on the web at Easy as ABT. And you can find us on Facebook. and hope you like us. And you can on our website, you can sign up for our newsletter. We've got all really cool stuff on that. So once again, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Rosalie. Now let's get that project started. You got this. We'll be back next Friday morning at 9 o'clock on KNCO News Talk 830.